On the Black Information Network, our stories matter. That's why BIN proudly supports the Hashtag Matter podcast, an 8-episode drama from Shondaland Audio that shines light on issues relevant to Black communities across America. To learn more about America's only 24/7 all-news network for Black communities, listen now at BINnews.com. That's BINnews.com on your local Black Information Network station or on the iHeartRadio app.
This podcast is a dramatization of fictionalized events that contains culturally insensitive language and violence.
I have an uncle that I've never met. His name was Aaron, and he died in an awful car accident at the young age of 16 when a drunk driver plowed into his Mustang on Pacific Coast Highway, just less than a mile and a half from the home where my grandparents, his parents, live to this day. The drunk driver walked away with a few minor cuts and scrapes, and he also escaped our judicial system with nothing more than probation, a fine, and community service. The last time I visited my grandmother, or my bubby, as I call her, we were sitting in her kitchenette, and I could sense that she was in a rare reflective mood, so I asked her about Uncle Aaron and what it was like losing her son so suddenly. She stared blankly in my direction, as if I was no longer in the room, almost as if she couldn't see me. And then she touched her wrinkled but sturdy hand to her temple and said to me softly, "Kate, I think I heard the sound of my brain crack inside my head." When I think of Gerald inside Jace's 42 Sports Bar and Grill, coming to terms with the fact that Niles was dead, I can't help but wonder, did Gerald hear his brain crack too? Just like my bubbies? As the medics stepped out the front door in the police department, SWAT team swept him away from the building. Here's what we do know for sure was happening inside the bar. Gerald, with his assault rifle still strapped over his shoulder, draws the handgun from his waistband and walks decisively over to Sergeant Place and presses the barrel hard against the officer's forehead.
Hey, don't do this, bro!
Stop it, bro!
Not like this!
Gerald fires off three successive shots just inches above Sergeant Place's head.
Oh my goodness, man! Let me just tell you something about the bullets, okay? They ripped into the kitchen tile, and then they exploded into these, like, little white clouds. Like, literally, I can see these little white clouds. Check this out. You see this right here?
Mm-hmm.
I still have tiny shards stuck underneath my skin.
This is the voice of Martin Sims. He pulls back his long-sleeved shirt and shows me this gnarly constellation of scars running up his forearm.
Jesus, that must have hurt.
Man, this shit still hurts.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Every time something brushes up against it, it feels like I'm being poked by 1,000 little pieces of glass.
So, were you relieved when you realized Gerald was shooting into the wall?
I wouldn't say relieved. I mean, sure, I was glad he didn't kill a man, but his shooting into the wall was no small thing. And at that point, I'm thinking to myself, what if, Jace is right, what if this cop is our only means of protection? Like, Gerald busting off warning shots isn't going to put anyone at ease, so... Look, if anything, that was the moment I knew I better wise up.
How so?
It just became clear to me that if I was going to make it out of there alive, I could not sit back and wait for some crazy man to do the right thing. So I started a plot on how to get myself out of the situation. And my best chance of doing that was I needed to flip Jace.
While Martin was gaining clarity on what he should do next, the hostage negotiation team debated what their next move should be. Commander Ammons recounts.
When I heard the shots ring out again, my first instinct was to make sure we stood down, okay? I quickly got confirmation from Captain Flores that the weapons discharge came from inside the building. My next priority was to get Homer talking to the HTs again and figure out exactly what the hell was going on in there.
In the security cam, we see Gerald leave the kitchen and go all the way over to the dining room. This is pivotal because he doesn't have line of sight, nor is he in earshot of everybody else still in the kitchen.
So here... he is about as far away as he possibly could be.
Martin recalls.
But what was scary about that was it was my real first opportunity to try to make a break for it, try and escape.
And he was right. because not only were they separated by distance, Gerald at this point in time seemed just sort of out of it. For a couple of minutes, there's footage of Gerald with his hands balled up in fists, clasped to his head, and he's rocking back and forth, making a weird, anguished sound. In the background, we can hear the throw line phone ringing incessantly as Homer and the rest of the command trailer eagerly attempt to reestablish contact. By observing Gerald in the security feed, the phone ring doesn't even register with him as he continues to rock back and forth in what I'm sure was an unconscious attempt to self-soothe. And even though I've been able to watch and rewatch this physical manifestation of his grief, it's still hard to fathom how unimaginably painful and frankly out of body these moments must have been for him. Just keep in mind, he's in the same room where he and Niles had just done renovations. I'd be willing to bet that the molding they worked on earlier hadn't even completely dried. And yet, in that short amount of time, so much had changed forever. From the looks of it, Gerald's grief-ridden spell could have gone on for a very long time, but it was cut short by biology. Like a spring, we see Gerald stand up and dart across the room, where he vomits into a paint bucket.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I clearly remember hearing him throw up. I mean, this may sound a little callous, but that's when I knew I should make a move.
Listen to this conversation between Martin and Jace.
Hey, Jace, listen. All right. You gotta pick that comp up. Just listen, just like you did outside. I'm gonna help you. We gotta hustle to that door, and then we gotta try to make it out of here.
Martin, no, man. I'm not gonna grab some fucking cop half dead and go out in front of both cops with them shoot guns at me. No, man, that ain't gonna happen.
Gerald just went out there with the and asked for the medic. They didn't shoot him.
Yeah, that was before he started popping shots off again. They say the cops don't shoot, huh? Who's to stop Gerald from shooting us on the way out?
You really think he'd shoot you? I mean, aren't you guys supposed to be boys or some shit?
Look here, man. I think I'm probably the best friend he has. But yeah, he shoot us.
While Martin and Jace argue the pros and cons of making a quick escape, Gerald, still in the dining room, can be seen gathering himself after literally purging his guts out. But as he comes up from that bucket, there's something about his posture worth noting. He seems renewed. Focused. Moments later, Gerald leaves the self-imposed exile in the dining room and rejoins everyone else in the kitchen.
So he came straight at me, and I'm thinking to myself, oh shit, like I'm in trouble.
Martin recounts.
You know, because I figured he heard me trying to get Jace to make a break for it. Instead, he says...
Give me your phone.
What?
Give me your phone.
What are you gonna do with it? So Gerald takes my phone and he holds it in front of Sergeant Place, like right in front of his face. And the cop's like, no, he's like trying to turn away. And then Gerald grabs his chin and he makes him watch it.
Can't move. No, resist. Bring your
arm. And then Gerald walks out. And I mean, we had no idea what he was planning on next.
Gerald retreats back to the dining room area where he can be seen fiddling with both his phone and Martin's phone when... Gerald receives a notification that sets in motion a chain of historical events. It was a prompt from the increasingly popular social media app, Polycam.
What might the message on Gerald's phone have said?
I can tell you exactly what it said, because it's always the same.
That's Phil Biko, the 26-year-old chairman, CEO, and founder of Polycam.
First, it's addressed to the username, in this case, Gerald OG. Then it says, "Welcome to Polycam. Open the app now to post or stream your first video."
And is there anything special about that notification?
Nope. Totally ordinary.
But Gerald was no ordinary user, was he?
He was not.
And he posted a video?
Well, yes. Technically, his first video was a live stream, which he then archived as a video post.
Was there anything special about it, his post/live stream?
I don't think we'd be having this conversation if it wasn't special.
Immediately after completing the Polycam sign-up process, Gerald finally answers the incoming call from the hostage negotiation team. Listen to this exchange.
Hello?
Go to this link in 5 minutes.
I need a pen. Does somebody get me a pen? Okay, I'm ready.
Polycam.com/SFJOWJ49.
Did he hang up again?
He's off.
That son of a bitch.
So, what was your impression when you first saw Gerald post the URL link?
At first, I wasn't quite sure what I was looking at. The police had pushed the media back another 30 yards, so to the naked eye, it was difficult to even make out what was happening.
This is the voice of local TV news field reporter Colleen Sanders.
But I knew it had to be something because for hours, we couldn't see into that bar at all. And then all of a sudden, there was this perfect 3-foot by 3-foot square of window pane looking right inside the building at about stomach high. So I look over to my cameraman who was playing that annoyingly popular phone game at the time. What was it called? It begins with a B.
Bodash.
Anyway, he's not seeing what I'm seeing at all. So to get his attention, I literally threw the cap of my pen at him. Yeah, and I got him. Yeah, right on the nose. Anyway, he looks up and I kind of give him the start rolling hand motion.
And why were you so incognito about it?
There were 4 other stations on site, and all of them were watching paint dry, just like me and my team. So,
got it. You wanted the scoop.
Well, yeah. So anyway, my cameraman zooms in, and we see someone taping this handwritten sign up in that perfectly shaped 3-foot square space in the window. And then they fold the construction paper back behind the sign, which again negates our ability to see into the bar. But...
But what?
There it was, a message that simply read, "Go here in 5 minutes." And it had the URL written underneath.
What did you think of it?
I didn't know if it was going to be something big or if we were going to go back to sitting on our hands and playing Bodash on our phones. But it turned out to be...
Turned out to be what?
Kate, off the charts big. Like once in a lifetime big.
I mentioned before, the problem with this case is that we were constantly on our heels and having to play catch up.
Commander Ammons reflects.
And that's okay. It's our job to play catch up. But so many things that transpired were frankly things we had never trained for, simply because they had never happened. Keep in mind, we're still on our heels after hearing gunfire from inside the building. Then we get hit with this link from the lead HT, and who knows where that's headed. Plus Hobbs informs me that we now have our second reported fatality of the evening, as confirmed by the medic. And then I find out that the press has picked up on the link and is now broadcasting it all over the news.
Sorry, Kate, I have to call bullshit on that. We never showed the URL on our station. Come on. I mean, legal wouldn't have allowed us to do that, even if we wanted to. Every time we cut to Gerald's handwritten sign, the link was blurred out.
My team and I have checked all the broadcast footage coming from Colleen's network. She is correct. None of it showed the actual Polycam URL. But there's definitely coverage where the lower third titles say in bold letters, "Kidnapper Gerald Hayes to make announcement on social media app." So Commander Ammons does have a point in that the news media certainly helped amplify exposure of Gerald's link.
So why do you think so many people believe that you and your station are responsible for getting Gerald's link out there?
Look, me and my team... We broke that story, and we are proud of that. And because we broke the story, I think a lot of people conflate that with us being responsible for Gerald's link going viral or trending or whatever. But that wasn't us. That was someone else or some online organization.
Regardless of how you look at it, the reality on the ground for law enforcement was that it added attention to the link's existence, which just raised the temperature on a situation that was already white hot. Back in the trailer, Captain Flores was adamant and very animated in his opinion that we should take the building immediately because he felt the HTs were operating more like terrorists than kidnappers, okay? I thought that was a bit extreme. But given Flores' military background in Afghanistan, I understood how he could get there in his thinking.
Did you consider sending SWAT in as he suggested?
No, I still thought that was premature. And for once, Homer and Patterson were united in their assessment and both insisted that we still had options that... did not require force.
You know, negotiators are always going to agree to negotiate.
Detective Patterson gives his take.
I generally disagree with Homer's style, but I take his outdated methods 100% of the time over the spray-and-pray approach that Captain Flores and some of his tactical guys were suggesting. But mostly, if you want my opinion, I think the debate in the trailer at that time was really more about everyone venting nervous pent-up energy. You know, in intense high-stakes situations like this, the reality is that sometimes you just need to wait to see what comes next. And that's exactly what we ended up doing.
While everyone outside the bar waited for the link to go live, Gerald was still making preparations for his big move.
Martin, grab one of those chairs and wheel that cop into the dining room. Get that tape off his mouth.
What if he starts yelling to the cops or signing?
Just do it.
Fine. Just know I'm not responsible. All right, come on. Let's get you into this chair.
While Martin attends to Sergeant Place, Gerald, already back in the dining room, can be seen sort of talking to himself. Unfortunately, no matter how many times I pored over the footage in the surveillance videos, I couldn't hear what Gerald was muttering during these pivotal moments. But then I caught a break.
Hello?
Kate?
Yes?
Hey, it's Jace. Can you meet?
Needless to say, I had jitters leading up to my second meeting with Jace. I knew if I lost him this time, I wasn't going to get a third opportunity.
Our stories matter. That's why the Black Information Network proudly supports the Hashtag Matter podcast, a new full-cast 8-episode drama series from Shondaland Audio and iHeart Podcast that delves into social justice topics. Told through a fictional lens, Hashtag Matter sheds a light on issues relevant to Black communities across America, much like the work we do on the Black Information Network. BIN is America's only 24/7 all-news network where every story is told from Black perspectives by Black journalists who understand the importance of telling stories with us in mind. Listen to the Black Information Network online now at BINnews.com. That's BINnews.com on the iHeartRadio app or simply tell your smart speaker to play the Black Information Network station.
I met Jace at his sober living residence. I don't know if he was choosing to stay closer to his support network or if he, like I, thought a change of venue would be a good idea for this go-around. We sat in this nice little outdoor courtyard where patients could take visitors and get some sunshine, but mostly I feel like it was just a really big smoking area. There were used ashtrays on every table, and when Jace asked me if I minded if he smoked, I answered, "Of course not," even though, truth be told, if I had one pet peeve, it's cigarette smoke. Needless to say, I wasn't going to let my idiosyncrasies deter us from getting off on the right foot.
You spend a lot of time out here?
To smoke? Nah, mostly I just vape, which I could do in my room, but my bud tender friend gave me this flower to sample, so, you know. Oh, wait, my bad. You won't hit this?
Oh, no, thank you. I'm retired.
Sure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, we got two big rules in the sleeping quarters here. No visitors. And no smoking anything that requires fire.
I will say this. Something about Jace's mood, his demeanor, was so much more easygoing this time. And it wasn't just the weed. Even before he started smoking, he just seemed to be in a much better headspace. Still, I was super mindful of what I said and how I said it as we got to talking. I started with small talk before I finally worked my way around to asking him about the moments leading up to Gerald's link going live. But eventually, I got there. And to his credit, Jace was very open.
It was strange, you know? At the time, it didn't make much sense or I didn't really think much of it. But looking back at it now, I think I know what he meant.
The strange moment he's referring to is when Gerald was in the dining room sort of talking to himself, the part I couldn't hear in the surveillance video.
Right before he had me and Martin wheel Sergeant Place in, Gerald was standing in the middle of the dining room and it was almost like he was talking to a ghost. He said, "Yeah, this could work, Niles. You built that wall too." So I called out to him a couple of times to get his attention. When G finally turned to me, he had this wide look in his eyes like somebody waking up from a nightmare.
What was that about?
I think, having just lost Niles. This might sound weird or whatever.
No, go on.
Look, I don't have proof of this. And I never asked G, but I think he felt like Niles' spirit was guiding him, you know? Like he was just making himself available to the spirit
that was moving him. That makes sense.
Yeah, like the calling.
Yeah, yeah, like that.
So the link goes live.
Yes.
And what were your initial thoughts?
Well, for a second there, it wasn't readily apparent to me what I was looking at, because when the live stream first started, there was this weird glare right in the middle of the video, and it made it difficult to get a grasp on what all I was seeing.
This is the voice of Colleen Sanders again, recapping her experience watching Gerald's feed as it went live. The confusion she's referring to is that Gerald started the live feed filming footage of Sergeant Place and Officer Webb beating Niles.
But he adjusted the shot pretty quickly, and then you could see, and it was like, oh, ugh. Oh, you knew exactly what this was, and I oh, it's just so violent.
So,
unfortunately, we've seen so many variations of this type of thing, from the police shootings to the no-knock warrants to the rough rides and, of course, the chokeholds. But this one was striking because of the sheer brutality of it all. And I don't know. I mean, ew, it's disgusting even hearing myself compare the awfulness of all these horrible occurrences, but the way they attacked Niles, it literally made me sick. It was just barbaric. It was inhuman. And an insult to injury. I knew right then that my reporting up until that point was wrong.
So obviously, we had no idea what was going to be on the link.
Commander Ammons recounts.
And as I'm watching the video, initially I'm thinking to myself, this is a bad look for the officers involved, the department as a whole, and it directly undermined a lot of the positive messaging that we'd been trying to put out since Rodney King. But I'm also thinking this is familiar territory. We've dealt with this type of controversy before. So from a management perspective, as I'm looking at part one of the live stream, my assessment was, we can handle this.
And what about part two of the video?
We were totally unprepared for that.
After the live link showed footage of the incident, Gerald flips the camera into selfie mode, and we move from familiar ground to totally uncharted territory. Gerald's face fills the screen as he delivers the following message.
Hello. My name is Gerald Hayes. Early today, my son Niles Hayes, was beaten severely by two members of the police department. During the attack, which y'all just saw, I came to my son's aid, as you would expect or hope any father would do to protect his child. The video that y'all just saw, that's the real version of what happened. There wasn't no carjacking or anything illegal about what Niles was doing when he got pulled over. Those reports is false. He was driving my friend's car, Jace Shaw. And he had Jace's permission to do so. So these news stations out there, please stop with the lies. What the video you just watched does not show is that my son Niles, he just died about an hour ago from the injuries that he took in the police attack. Niles was a good kid. He was sweet. He's kind. He's thoughtful. He's crazy smart. And he had a real future ahead of him, and he did not deserve to go out like this. So I'm thinking to myself, how many times have we seen this, y'all? And then there's no trial or no conviction, no justice. And then if by some miracle we do get some accountability, it still ain't gonna be enough to bring my boy back. It ain't gonna stop the next clown motherfucking cop from doing the same bum ass shit all over and over again. So nah, I ain't gonna let this shit keep happening. We gotta do something different. And I need y'all help. So we're gonna hold trial right here, right now.
Gerald turns the camera into landscape view, and now we see Sergeant Place in the frame as well. The two of them are seated on the same stage Gerald was building earlier in the day.
Sergeant Place, how do you plead in the murder of Niles Hayes?
What? You can't do this. This isn't right.
No, killing my son wasn't right. How do you plead?
No, I'm not doing this.
Look, man, I'm giving you a chance, which is more than you gave my boy. So if you don't want to take it, then fine. The video evidence will speak for you and your punk-ass partner.
Innocent.
What you say?
I'm innocent.
Innocent? Then who's responsible for my son's death? Was it your partner that you shot and killed? Oh, no. Oh, I see. No, you're going to lay all the blame on him.
No.
So, okay, so you're going to own up to what you did.
You are.
What?
You are. You are responsible.
I am. Do you need to see the video again? Because it's plain as day that you and your partner's vicious, unwarranted, and unlawful attack on Niles is what killed them.
At times, when you're subduing a suspect and they're resisting arrest, police officers are required to use force. Sometimes, a lot of force to gain compliance. Your son was belligerent, he was combative, and he was resisting.
So when his hands were on the steering wheel and you were punching him in the face, he was resisting then?
Yes.
What about when your partner smashed through the window and dragged him out into the street like a dog? He was resisting there too, I guess.
Yes.
Get the fuck out of here with this bullshit.
I directed the suspect to get out of the car multiple times and he refused. He refused, so me and my partner lawfully moved in to make him comply.
No, you moved in and then you beat him to death.
That's not what killed him.
So don't believe all lying eyes. That's your defense.
What killed him was your refusal to get him care after you unlawfully assaulted not one, but two police officers and seized control of the scene.
Are you real?
And
are
because you put
no,
your you freedom ahead
real
of your
right
son's
now,
well-being, you are responsible.
I asked the goddamn police over an hour to send a fucking doctor, and they dragged their feet.
Maybe. But all you had to do was open that door and surrender, and your son would have been on his way to the hospital.
That's bullshit. I wasn't going to let another cop near Niles until I saw that he got the help that he needed. How many times have we saw where you guys have fucked somebody up, beat him up, tased him up, shoot him up, and you do nothing as they gasp for their last breath? You think I was going to let that shit happen?
Well, that's the call you made. But obviously it was the wrong one, and now you have to live with that. But if I were in your shoes, I would have laid down my arms so my son could have got the help he needed.
Man, you really trying to put this shit on me? I don't know what's wrong with you people, bro.
Let me ask you a question. You're a gangbanger, right? Convicted felon? How many times you gone to prison?
That ain't got nothing to do with this.
Doesn't it? How many times? You on probation now? You think I don't know what each and every one of those gang tats on your arms means? Let's face it, Gerald. There's no way that you're not the bad guy here. Just be honest for the people out there. Tell them about yourself. Tell them who you really are. You're not just some innocent father that caught a bad break, are you?
Oh, really? So despite what the people seen in that video, what I seen with my own two eyes, your defense is that Niles' death had nothing to do with your inhumane prejudice assault on his rights and on his body. Niles went for an errand, man, to pick up basketball tickets, and he ended up dead. Trayvon Martin went to a fucking liquor store for some fucking Skittles and ended up dead. How can you defend that?
I can't speak to that other situation. All I'm saying is if you had not started the shooting...
I started shooting!
Yes!
I started shooting!
Yes, when you assaulted two police officers carrying out their duties.
What?
You broke the law. The reason we pulled your son over in the first place was because he was driving erratically.
Get the fuck
he broke the law.
Here.
You and him what? Both set off a chain reaction of unlawful events that resulted in gunfire. If it wasn't for you, no one would be dead right now.
What are you talking about?
My partner would still be alive. And after the suspect was apprehended, we would have put him in custody and gotten him the medical care that he needed.
Of course.
Once you intervened, everything went to shit. Your mistakes, your unlawful behavior was fatal.
Had I not intervened, how many more blows would my son have had to take before you were done, quote unquote, subduing him? Huh? Knocking his teeth out wasn't enough. Breaking his neck wasn't enough. How many times did you and your partner strike Niles?
Oh, you don't know that either, do you? And then you say that I started this shit when you struck my son first. You took the first shot and the second shot. It's in the video, man. It's in the video.
As an officer of the law, I have the right to protect myself, and so did my partner.
And once you started beating my son, I had the God-given right as a father to protect him. You motherfuckers declare war on our sons, our daughters, our brothers, our sisters, our mothers, our fathers before our fathers, and the only justification for your actions is that you're the police. Well, fuck that. This shit ain't gonna fly no more. I'm fed up. We all fed up.
As a father? As a father, you made a dangerous situation even more dangerous. Because of that, you are to blame. You've convinced yourself that you are the victim here. You're not. You're trying to get sympathy from other people. The truth is, you don't deserve it. You are nothing more than a common thug. And I think the people out there should know exactly what type of thug is puppeteering this... puppeteering this farce... Because you've been in control of this situation the entire time.
What are you talking about?
On your watch, a cop has died, your son has died. I'll probably plead to death myself while you single-handedly try and kill our criminal justice system.
Your father told you was killing your fucking
because of your
selfish resistance to this racist ass.
Because of your refusal to surrender,
bitch,
you let your son die on a cold table.
Fucking white boys like your fucking ass. You're a fucking liar.
In the video, we see Gerald strike Sergeant Place in the face. Still handcuffed, the cop loses his balance and falls out of his chair. Joe flips the phone back into selfie mode, his face filling the screen.
The time is 7:46 p.m. Voting starts now and ends midnight. Vote up for innocent. Vote down for guilty. If the people say he innocent, I'll let Sergeant Place walk. You declare him guilty, I'm gonna kill him. We go live again at 11:30 p.m., 30 minutes before voting closes.
The world responds to Gerald's trial. Next time on Hashtag Matter.
Hashtag Matter. Starring Eamon Joseph as Gerald Hayes. Jennifer Christopher as Kate Bell, Steve Harris as Jace Shaw, Haley Joel Osment as Sergeant Place, Pooch Hall as Martin Sims, and Snoop Dogg as Big H. Additional performances by Niall Bullock as Niles Hayes, Tarina Pouncey as Michelle Hayes, Monte Russell as Detective Patterson, and Alex Vaughn as Daryl Hanover. Hashtag Matter was written and directed by Dylan C. Brown. Our executive producers are Sandy Bailey, Lauren Holman, Dylan Brown, Winnie Kemp, and Eamon Joseph. Audio design by Wolf at the Door. Sound design and mix by Josh Falcon. Music by Jonathan Sanford. Edited by Darren Bowling. And our sound director is Alexander Kemp. Produced by Toby Lawless and Lucy Jones. Casting by Lawless Casting. Hashtag Matter is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio and in association with Wolf at the Door. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.